You're listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. How much are your points worth? Some are worth a penny, some are worth 2 cents. But we've got John from Nomos Coach who stops by today to challenge the assertion of what a point is really worth. Is it worth 2 cents? It could be, and we're going to go in a little more detail with him in just a little bit. Before that, we've got a listener question. Michael wrote in to say that he and his partner had bought a cheap round-trip ticket from Chicago to Tokyo. Narita, actually. And we've got some segment coming up with Seth from Wandering Airman that's going to talk about why a bunch of those flights are probably going to move from Narita to Haneda. But that's a story for another day. So they've got this cheap round-trip flight. They don't have status with American Airlines, but they have 75,000 AA miles, as well as a bunch of Ultimate Rewards and Membership Rewards points. And AA told them that it was $25,000 plus a copay each way per person to upgrade to business class for their flight to Tokyo. So that would mean that they would need 100,000 AAdvantage miles to upgrade both of them going to and from Narita. So Michael's asking how to use his Ultimate Rewards or Membership Rewards points to help him get that last 25,000 miles that he needs to upgrade one leg for one of the two passengers. And the unfortunate answer is that he can't. While you can transfer your Ultimate Rewards points to British Airways to book flights on American Airlines Metal, using British Airways Avios program, you can't do so for an upgrade with American. And American is also not a transfer partner of Membership Rewards. In fact, one of the interesting things about American is that they are thin on overall transfer partners. So the two best ways, unfortunately, for Michael to accomplish what he's trying to accomplish is either to apply for an American Airlines credit card if he has enough time to earn the sign-up bonus and use those miles from the sign-up bonus to cover the fourth flight that he doesn't have enough miles for an upgrade, or he could buy the miles from American watching for one of their fare sales, one of their mileage sales, where the cheapest I've seen them drop is just under about 2 cents a piece. Not necessarily saying that that's a good value, but those are the best answers that Michael's got here. If you're enjoying the show, I hope you will take a moment to tell a friend. We'd also love it if you would subscribe and rate the podcast wherever you're listening, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, etc. And if you have any questions or guests that you'd like us to have on the show, you can email me, ed@pizzainmotion.com. And you can find me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Pizza in Motion. With all that, we're going to get over to our interview with John to talk about when is 2 cents worth 2 cents. We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. This week's show is brought to you in part by AutoSlash. AutoSlash does one thing really, really well. They save you money on car rentals, and not just a little bit. They're always free to use, and there's two separate ways that they can help save you money. First off, if you start your booking process at autoslash.com, you'll enter in some key information, Costco membership, AAA, frequent flyer memberships, and they'll take all that information along with searching for any publicly available codes that you might not be aware of, and they'll find the best price for your specific car rental, which you can then go ahead and book. After you've booked, you can enter your car rental reservation into their tracking tool, and it will continue to track whether the price has gone down on your car rental or a new code becomes available that would save you more money. They'll notify you, and you'll be given the chance to rebook that reservation for less money. Even if you don't start the booking process with AutoSlash.com, if you booked it somewhere else, you could take your reservation number, key it into AutoSlash, and they will continue to track that reservation for free and let you know if the price goes down or if there's a discount code maybe you didn't know about, right up until you pick the car up. Tons of different ways to save money with AutoSlash. It's 100% free, always 100% free. Give it a try and drop me an email. Let me know what you think about it. You can find them at autoslash.com. back on the Miles to Go podcast, and we had a little bit of a controversy recently in the world of miles and points, which sometimes comes up when folks try to stake a claim to what they think miles and points are worth, and they sometimes proclaim this quite loudly, pounding their chest with the numbers. I've always been a believer in the value of miles and points, or what you make of them, and I think that's the argument that John, who has the best last name out there, Nicol D'Andrea of No Mas Coach, posited recently. John, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, Edward Bizzarello.
It sounds so good when it rolls off your tongue. Like so let's set the table here. You were brave, arrogant, stupid, foolish enough to proclaim that that you would be willing to buy points at 2 cents a piece in certain situations, and it didn't go well after that, huh?
All day long, man. I will absolutely buy them at 2 cents a piece. And it did not go well. I was wrung up by my feet, dragged up, hung upside down, and burned at the stake.
Yeah. And look, I mean, let's give folks a little bit more context here. You know, John, generally speaking, when he's buying miles for 2 cents a piece, has a very specific use lined out for him. And he makes me jealous when I see photos of him and Ben going to places like the Maldives. But that can be a great redemption for them. The argument that he was making in this post, too, though, was for folks who are traveling a little bit closer to home, maybe something less complicated, which is a lot of the folks that listen to my podcast. If you're trying to plan that next vacation and you just need a few more points to top up, you might not want to participate in one of the large sales that the airlines have, buying 50,000 or 100,000 points, and you know, buying them in small chunks like this might be enough to get you to your next vacation. Does that frame it up accurately?
Perfectly. Yeah. I think that if you've become a member of any miles program, you're going to find that you'll get an email that says 40% bonus on purchased miles, 50% bonus on purchased miles, 25% bonus, whatever the bonus is. And the airlines and the hotels will happily sell you their miles. But typically, in order to get the best value for your miles, which is during the sales, you know, 1.96 or 1.97 cents per mile, you've got to buy 150,000 miles, right? You've got to buy 80,000 miles, jack the amount of miles up. And of course, that equates to a price tag of $1,500, $2,000, $3,000, or $4,000 just for these purchases of miles. In a recent post, I posited that the new Barclays credit card, or was it Barclay USA? Barclays? I don't have to change the name so many times. I think it's Barclays.
I think it's Barclays. Yeah, I think they are just Barclays right now.
Barclays. That's it. So the new credit card with their Flight Sense promo for their Advantage Aviator says that they'll round up your purchases to the nearest dollar, take that difference, divide by two, and then you get the miles. So for example, if you buy a latte for $3.20, they'll round up that 80 cents. They'll charge you the 80 cents. But then 80 divided by 2 is 40, so you get 40 extra miles. So you get 40 miles for 80 cents, and that's 2 cents a mile. And for me, buying 2 cents a mile in 80 cent increments is a whole heck of a lot better deal than buying 230,000 miles in 4,000 chunk increments. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think as we start to get down into the smaller numbers, I think it starts to be more relevant to, you know, the normal folks who aren't lucky enough to go to the Maldives every 6 months. And I think that's, you know, the reason why I wanted you to come on the podcast to talk about it. I think to be clear, you know, my side of this, if you will, I'm in agreement with John on the abstract of, I don't think miles and points should be like, I think you should use the values as a guide. And I think there are times where using points for a standard award or a rule buster award where you're paying maybe double the saver amount, it can still be fine in the context of maybe you got three saver tickets and one more expensive ticket to average out to a reasonable family vacation. I think the one thing that I'd say, probably the only thing that I take a little bit of exception to, and I think that's probably not quite the right way to say it. I think the thing I would say to codify, John, what you wrote was, I just don't necessarily want somebody purchasing these points at 2 cents a piece without a really good plan.
Agreed. And I don't think that you can find somebody like to push back. And again, not that we're fighting on the podcast, but to push back, like you, even if you did roll up your 80 cents to 40 miles. 40 miles will get you nowhere, right? I mean, I get
sure.
At the same token, like if you are an American Airlines flyer, or you want to use your American Airlines miles, or you know it takes 25,000 miles to have a domestic round trip award, and you have 13,000 miles in your account, start using your Aviator card. And every month you're going to earn an extra 600, an extra 800, an extra 200. And before you know it, in under a year, you'll have the miles you need to take that round trip flight in coach, which if that's what you want to do is totally fine without having to bust the bank and spend $500 or $600 all at one chunk. So you're right. Like, I don't feel it's necessary for people to buy hundreds of thousands of miles unless that's what you want. But I really doubt that you're going to get yourself in trouble buying, you know, a stamp at the post office for $1.36 and then rounding up that 64 cents extra is not going to break the bank, and it allows you to incrementally build up your balance in your account.
For sure. And I think the thing to be aware of here is if this is a strategy you're going down a road on, I think it's, you know, I think there are ways to lose, quote unquote, on this strategy, but I don't think it's possible to get hosed on it, if you will. I mean, maybe you're buying some of your points at 2 cents a piece and you ultimately end up redeeming them and you get 1.5 cents. So you're losing, you know, 25% of what you spent in absolute.
You could have used 25% if they changed their award charts overnight as well.
Sure, exactly. But by buying the points ahead of time, you're sort of baking in that you're locking yourself a little bit into that program.
Yes.
On the flip side of that, though, if you have, and this is where I think the flight sense makes a ton of sense. If you've got 22,000 points in your account, 22,000 miles in your account, and 25,000 is fairly likely to get you a saver award round trip to go visit, you know, family or Disney World or whatever, and 22,000 gets you a pet rock, then the 22,000 miles you have really have no value to you if you can't use them for anything other than maybe like a magazine subscription.
Sure.
And spending a little bit of money to get to 25,000 buys you a free trip.
Agreed.
Well, not a free trip, but it buys you a trip. It allows you to redeem all of the miles. It's one of the reasons why I'm such a big fan, as are you, of flexible currencies like Ultimate Rewards, because then you could top off that account. Say if you had 22,000 United miles, you could top off to 25,000 without having to buy just by transferring in 3,000.
I'm 100% on the same page with you. And I think that if you find yourself, like if you're a coach traveler, that's great. One of the things that I pointed out in the post is there are sweet spots as well. Like, for example, US to Europe in business class round trip, if you bought miles at 2 cents a piece, would be about $2,300. And, you know, while $2,300 is not chump change, someone who wants to spend $2,300 to fly round trip in business class from anywhere in the US to anywhere in Europe,
sure,
is still a pretty good deal, right? Especially if there are sales all the time, and I know we're going to get hate comments that, oh, well, it's always at $1,600 or there's always a sale for $2,000. Sure, there are sales. They don't necessarily happen to be on the day you want. They don't necessarily happen to be when you want, from the city you want, at the time you want. And at the same time with this, you can go one way. Most of those fares that you see require a round trip travel. So this one allows you to just do one chunk at a time. And I think that if you, you know, consider it like layaway of the old days, right?
Yes.
With Sears and Kmart, and they used to do layaway. Like, you're layawaying $200 a month or $150 a month on layaway to build up the points you need to get to that award.
Yes. Again, just make sure that you have a clear goal in mind. And at least from where I sit, I, you know, from a belt and suspender sort of old timer kind of guy, I'd say, like, have a backup plan too. So if Europe is where you want to go and they change the chart for Europe, you know, are you happy going to the Caribbean or Vancouver or, you know, Panama or something else?
Will you please include in the show notes a picture of you in belt and suspenders?
I'm going to get back to you on that.
Please.
I mean, I'm sure there will be, I'm sure we can put a donut picture in there, but I'm not sure I own suspenders. I'll have to check.
Get off my lawn. Eh?
Yes, I am exactly. I have reached the point of being that guy. And what a wonderful way to stick the landing and say, thanks a bunch for being back on, John. When you're not here on the podcast messing around with me talking about miles and points, tell folks where they can track you down.
Shaking my fist at you on my lawn.
Do you have a lawn?
I do have a lawn. I am a, yes. Yes.
All right.
And when you make it to, when you make it to Seattle, which is the answer to your question, you can come hang out on the lawn.
I would absolutely love that. But as you know, there are plenty of people in Seattle that don't have lawns and still have beautiful places.
This is true. You can also find us on all the social channels at Nomos Coach and at nomoscoach.com.
Awesome. Thanks a bunch for being on. Safe travels.
Thanks, Ed.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. Back to wrap up this week's show with the final two pennies. And it's a good time to remind folks that you should make sure you do your research before you follow up on any sort of deals that you see out there. We're in the thick of daily getaways, and this episode is actually launching on the day of the Hertz promo. So if you're listening the day that the episode drops, there's a Hertz promo with Daily Getaways today where Hertz is selling their Gold Plus Rewards points. And if I'd written a post at the time that Daily Getaway started, I probably would have told you that this was a really great value. But if you were listening to our Now Boarding podcast earlier this week, you heard that The Gate, Brian from The Gate, reported that Hertz made some pretty big changes to their Gold Plus Rewards loyalty program in two key areas. First, they raised the number of points that are required for a variety of reservations, in some case pretty precipitously. And then also, they included a term in their terms and conditions that now that now requires that you forfeit a portion of your points at certain status levels if you cancel an award reservation more than 24 hours after you book, which is a pretty big deal considering most car rentals are fully refundable don't even require a credit card for a guarantee in some cases until very close into booking, and sometimes not until you pick up the car rental. So big changes there. And, you know, if you were keeping an eye on yesterday's deal, the Universal Orlando deal I wrote about, there actually are cheaper tickets for the park ticket option from yesterday via Undercover Tourist as opposed to buying from Daily Getaways. So it's important to note that even if somebody says it's a great deal, that you should do your own research and make sure that you've dug in and that the information is current. So if you were thinking about buying that Hertz package today, I hope that you've done your research and seen that the prices have changed dramatically on how many points it's going to require for you to book that car rental, and that you don't buy something thinking that you're getting X in value and then to find out later that you can't get what it ultimately is you were hoping for. That's a full wrap on this week's episode. Big thanks to John for stopping by and helping make it a great show. As always, thanks to producer Mike for putting together our audio and making us sound great on a weekly basis. If you made it this far in the show, I'm going to assume that means that you actually liked it. So I'd love it if you'd tell a friend and take a moment to subscribe and rate the podcast. If you have questions or guests that you'd like to see on the show, you can email me, ed@pizzainmotion.com. You can also find me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Pizza in Motion. I've already got segments sitting on the shelf from my buddy Gilbert talking about Australia and from Seth at Wandering Aramean talking about the changes in Tokyo, Narita versus Haneda Airport. So lots of good stuff to come. Until we upload again, we've got miles to go.